Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Welcome everybody to Nightlight, and this is the Neon Twilight section of it, and your host is Solaris Blue Raven. She'll be with you in just a second. I want to first thank Ken Quiethawk for his intro. Please check him out on the internet. He's a native storyteller, and it's magical what they do with telling stories and providing a way of understanding cosmology and history and wisdom all in one package that survives the written word. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Solaris Blue Raven, who is your hostess and who is going to guide us through the last four parts of the Emerald Tablets. Welcome to your show, Solaris.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here with you and everyone. I hope everybody's doing well out there. And, yeah, it's very exciting. This has been a great read. So I hope everybody's enjoying it. And we're heading into Tablet 10, The Key of Time. And this will be very interesting to kind of go through and start bringing the energy back in here. So whenever you're ready and whenever the listeners are ready, I'll go ahead and start.
Well, I'm ready for sure.
All right. So the key of time. So let me go ahead and get started here. List ye, O man, take of my wisdom. Learn of his deep hidden mysteries of space. Learn of the thought that grew in the abyss, bringing order and harmony in space. Know ye, O man, that all exists as being only because of the law. Now ye the law, and ye shall be free. Never be bound by the fetters of night. Far through strange spaces have I journeyed into the depth of the abyss of time, until in the end all was revealed. Know ye that mystery is only mystery, when it is knowledge unknown to man. When ye have plumbed the heart of all mystery, knowledge and wisdom will surely be thine. Seek ye and learn that time is the secret whereby ye may be free of this space. Long have I wisdom sought wisdom, I, and shall seek of eternity's end. For know that ever before me receding shall move the goal I seek to attain. Even the lords of the cycle know that not yet have they reached the goal. For with all of their wisdom, they know that truth ever grows. Once in a past time, I spoke to the dweller, asked of the mystery of time and space, asked him the question that surged in my being, saying, O master, what is time? Then to me spoke he, the master, know ye, O thoughts, in the beginning there was void and nothingness, a timeless, spaceless nothingness. And into the nothingness came a thought, purposeful, all-pervading, and it filled the void. There existed no matter, only force. A movement, a vortex, or vibration of the purposeful thought that filled the void. And I questioned the master, saying, was this thought eternal? And answered me, the dweller, saying, in the beginning there was eternal thought, And for thought to be eternal, time must exist. So into the all-pervading thought, through the law of time, I, time which exists through all space, floating in a smooth rhythmic movement that is eternally in a state of fixation. Time changes not, but all things change in time, for time is the force that holds events separate, each in its own proper place. Time is not in motion, but ye move through the time, as your consciousness moves from one event to another. I, but by time, yet exist all in all, and eternal one existence. Know ye that even though in the time ye are separate, ye still are one in all time's existence. Seized then the voice of the dweller, and departed I to ponder on time, for knew I that in these words lay wisdom, and a way to explore the mysteries of time. Oft did I ponder the words of the dweller, then sought I to solve the mystery of time. Found I that time moves through strange angles, yet only by curves could I hope to attain the key that would give me access to the time space. Found I that only by moving upward, and yet again by moving right to rightward, could I be free from the time of the movement. Forth I came from the out of my body, moved in the movements that changed me in time. Strange were the sights I saw in my journeys, many the mysteries that opened to view. I saw I man's beginning, learn from the past that nothing is new. Seek ye, O man, to learn the pathway that leads through the spaces that are formed forth in time. Forget not, O man, with all of thy seeking, that light is the goal, yet shall seek to attain. Search ye for the light on the pathway, on thy pathway, and ever for thee the goal shall endure. Let not thine heart turn over to darkness. Let light shine soul to be, let light shine soul be a sun on the way. Know ye that eternal brightness, ye shall ever find the soul hid in light. Never fettered by bondage or darkness, ever it shines forth a sun of the light. I know, though hidden in darkness, your soul, a spark of the true flame, exists. Be ye one with the greatest of all lights. Find us at the source, the end of thy goal. Light is life, for without the great light, nothing can ever exist. Know ye that in all formed matter, the heart of light always exists. I, even though bound in the darkness, inherent light is all always exists. Once I stood in the halls of Amenti and heard the voices of the lords of Amenti, saying in tones that rang through the silence, words of power, mighty and potent, chanted they the song of the cycles, the words that opened the path to beyond. I saw the great path opened. And I looked for the instant into the beyond, saw I the movements of the cycles, vast as the thought of the source could convey. Knew I, then, even infinity, is moving on to some unthinkable end. Saw I that the cosmos is order, and part of a movement that extends to all space, a party of an order of orders, constantly moving in a harmony of space. Saw I the wheeling of cycles, like vast circles across the sky. Knew I, then, that all that has been, that is being, is growing to meet yet another being in a far-off grouping of space and of time. Knew I, then, that in words are power to open the planes that are hidden from man. I, that even in words lies hidden the key that will hope, that will open above and below. Hark ye now, man, this word I leave with thee. Use it, and ye shall find power in its sound. Say ye the word. Zinuru, and power ye shall find. Yet must ye understand that man is of light, and light is of man. List ye, O man, and hear a mystery, stranger than all that lies beneath the sun. Know ye, O man, that all space is filled by words within worlds, by worlds within worlds. I, one within, the other yet separate by law. Once in my search for deep buried wisdom, I opened the door that bars them from man. Called I from the other planes of being, one who was fairer than the daughters of men. I called her from out of the spaces to shine as a light in the world of men. Used I the drum of the serpent, wore I the robe of purple and gold, placed on my head I the crown of silver. Around me the circle of cinnabar shone, raised I my arms and cried the invocation that opens the path to the plains beyond. Cried to the lords of the signs in their houses, lords of the two horizons, watchers of the treble gates, stand ye, one at the right and one at the left, as the star rises to his throne and rules over his sign. I, thou dark prince of Arulu, open the gates of the dim, hidden land, and release her whom ye kept imprisoned. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, dark lords and shining ones, and by their secret names, names which I know and can pronounce, hear ye, and obey my will. Lit I then with flame by my circle, and called her in the space plains beyond, daughter of light, return from Arulu. Seven times and seven times have I passed through the fire. Food have I not eaten, water have I not drunk. I called thee from Arulu. From the realms of Eker Shegel, I summoned thee, Lady of Light. Then before me rose the dark figures, I, the figures of the lords of Arulu, parted they before me. And forth came the Lady of Light. Free was she now from the lords of the night, free to live in the light of the earth's sun, free to live as a child of the light. Hear ye and listen, O my children. Magic is knowledge and only is law. Be not afraid of the power within thee. For it follows law as the stars in the sky. Know ye that to be without knowledge, wisdom is magic and not of the law. But know ye that ever ye by your knowledge can approach closer to a place in the sun. List ye, my children, follow my teaching. Be ye ever seeker of light. Shine in the world of men all around thee, a light on the path that shall shine among men. Follow ye and learn of my magic. Know that all force is thine if thou wilt. Fear not the path that leads thee to knowledge, but rather shun ye the dark road. Light is thine, O man, for the taking. Cast off the fetters and thou shalt be free. Know ye that thy soul is living in bondage, fettered by fears that hold ye in thrall. Open thy eyes and see the great sunlight. Be not afraid, for all is thine own. Fear is the Lord of the dark Arulu, to he who never faced the dark fear. I know that fear has existence, created by those who are bound by their fears. Shake off thy bondage, O children, and walk in the light of the glorious day. Never turn thy thoughts to the darkness, and surely ye shall be one with the light. Man is only what he believeth, a brother of the darkness or a child of the light. Come thou into the light, my children, walk in the pathway that leads to the sun. Hark ye now and listen to the wisdom. Use thou the word I have given unto thee. Use it, and surely thou shalt find power and wisdom and light to walk in the way. Seek thee and find the key I have given, and ever shalt thou be a child of the light.
This was supposed to be, the key of time. And I'm kind of questioning time, because time is man-made. It's not spirit-made.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So he's talking,
I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Makes for a great discussion. So he's throwing a time element out there in space where time does not exist.
I agree. Yeah, I totally resonate with what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm kind of befuddled slightly. I know that man uses time to designate periods of existence. But
mm-hmm.
I will bet you money the sun does not have a calendar. And
I agree.
So I'm wondering if time is relative only if you're on the earth plane. Because when you go, because if you go into spirit, there is no time.
Right.
I mean, if you're traveling as a spirit, if you're doing remote viewing, or if you're doing out of body experience, there is no time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I thought of that too. I think you're right in a sense that it makes you wonder if he's just not doing some journeying, maybe even interdimensionally, but still there's that timeless aspect, and yet he's using it as a benchmark of measure.
Well, I guess if you're telling a story, you have to have a time frame.
I suppose. And then there's cellular memory too. So even as we progress and leave perhaps this world, we still have the cellular database. So we could access it, in my opinion. It could have a snapshot or a fractal of a timeline. but not time the way we see it here. That's just my two cents. But
well, if you look at us as spirits, we've been here for millions, billions, trillions of years.
Mm-hmm.
On a journey to we don't know, but the Earth plane is not the only plane, and.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, when this is channeled material, everybody, I hope, recognizes that this is channeled material that you have been reading, and that because it is channeled material, it has, and it's over 100 years old. And because of that, the material has to come through the frame of reference of the channeler, so that maybe mm-hmm. there was another way of talking about time, but the only reference that Doral had was time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just, you know, I'm not questioning the channeling. The channeling is beautiful, and it's been around for 100 years, and it's still valid information. But the element of time throws me off. Because
mm-hmm.
to a spirit on a journey throughout the cosmos, time has no relevance. Because spirits
agreed.
Are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're eternal, there is no time.
Exactly. Well, I agree with you on that one. It almost sounds like he's journeying, I don't want to say interdimensionally, but he's accessed something within this world. And that, you know, I'm not saying that's why he's using the signature of time, but the idea behind that would be he's still here. And also there's the aspect that he, even though he's channeling it, he's still a part of that stream. So he's interpolating
uh-huh.
it his way too. So yeah, I can see that. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. I've even referenced that as well in my own books about time as a benchmark of measure. It's based on the perception of the observer. And of course, you know, remote viewing, as you know, and time traveling, that does exist because you can access a timeline, but it's way different. It's timelessness, you know, you're just accessing
well,
information.
And he did say leaving his body. So,
mm-hmm.
and I think as soon as you leave your body, you leave this dimension and you leave time behind.
I agree. At least it's been that way for me. I'm sure you've had astral projection. I know when I astral travel, there's no time involved in the illusion of, and it is what it is.
You know, and quite often, you know, you can spend what you feel is hours and hours and hours and hours doing something, and when you return, it's like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
So there's that element of, you know, oh my gosh, did I oversleep? Am I late for my job and stuff like that? And then you realize it's only 5 minutes.
That's right.
I could.
And it's frequency based, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, you change the field, you change the whole paradigm.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's how you raise your vibration that alters the whole signature, but yeah.
Absolutely. So it's sort of like it's beautiful what you read, but
mm-hmm. it's very pretty.
He talks about his experience going to a mentee, which we've kind of decided was another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't even know why he had to say time here, to be honest with you. He could have probably used another word because time, to me, time doesn't reflect what he's telling people. You know,
mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, it's, you know, follow the light, go with the light. And then he rescued somebody from the darkness. And he talks of the dweller, and the dweller, for those of people that haven't been with us through this journey, the dweller was the he dwelled in the Temple of Light on Atlantis before it sank, and he's the one that sent Thoth to Egypt. So he's speaking in one place here of speaking to the dweller of the temple, and you know that he goes back and forth in time so much that
mm-hmm.
it's hard to put these different tablets into a progression of time. you know, because he starts out with Atlantis, and then he goes way back to his childhood, and now he's back in Atlantis again, and we're on the 10th tablet. So it does become a little confusing, but there's such wisdom in all of this that, you know, you kind of you have to overlook little insignificant things like there is no time.
Right. And I don't know if most people would notice that, because we come from a different spectrum in our consciousness, you know, with time and the illusion of, and some people look at time differently. But I would say, yeah, you decode it as you're guided. In my opinion, you get what you need out of it. And certain things resonate and activate you, and other things maybe not. But I agree. I think that could have been edited. And, you know, had we been there on the timeline, maybe you could have edited. But you needed an editor back then, apparently.
Well,
that's great, though. It's beautiful material.
And I know that in the intro to all of this, that it says the more times you read it, the more enlightened you become. And that's true. Different parts speak to you at different times. Absolutely. And, you know, in the intro, it's, you know, you don't have to even believe this. Just read it. And it will either activate something in you or it will not. Anyway, you've had a pleasant journey.
I agree. But yeah, it puts you in a whole different zone. And I think that's the idea, is expanding your consciousness.
And I think that, you know, with you and I going through this and talking about it, for me, I find it fascinating because, you know, we really, you know, both of us bring a few years of spiritual background into the whole picture. But for me, it's been fascinating because I've read through this material dozens and dozens of times, and I'm sure you have too. And I'm getting more out of it doing this way than possibly when I've been just sitting and breezing through it myself. And for those for anyone interested in the book that we're talking from, it's called The Emerald Tablets of Thoth, the Atlantean Translation and Interpretation by Doreal, Doreal. And you can get it, I think it's on Amazon, but you can also get it on the White Brotherhood's website as well. Okay, so I think we've covered that one.
Yeah,
so
I encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, we have tablet 11 coming
and, up. Yeah, we got 11 coming up. And, you know, of course, to be honest, to those of you listening, I thought there were 12, and there turned out to be 15 tablets.
That's right. So another episode.
So there you go.
Episode.
Okay.
So, and thank you, Barbara, for joining me with this. This is fun. And so the next one, yes, the key to above and below. So this is the next one coming up. Hear ye and list ye, O children of Chem, to the words that I give that shall bring ye to the light. Ye know, O men, that I knew your fathers, I, your fathers, in a time long ago. Deathless have I been through all the ages, living among ye since your knowledge began. Leading you upward, leading ye upward to the light of the great soul, have I ever striven, drawing ye from out of the darkness of night. Know ye, O people amongst whom I walk, that I, Thoth, have all of the knowledge, that all of the wisdom known to man since the ancient days. Keeper have I been of the secrets of the great race, holder of the key that leads into life. Bringer up have I been to ye, O my children, even from the darkness of the ancient days. List ye now to the words of my wisdom. List ye now to the message I bring. Hear ye now the words I give thee, and ye shall be raised from the darkness to light. Far in the past, when first I came to thee, found I thee in caves of rocks. Lifted I thee by my power and wisdom, until thou didst shine as men among men. I found I thee without any knowing, only a little were ye raised beyond beasts. Fanned I ever the spark of thy consciousness, until at last ye flamed as men. Now shall I speak to thee knowledge ancient, beyond the thought of thy race. Know ye that we of the great race had and have knowledge that is more than man's wisdom we gained from the star-born races, wisdom and knowledge of far beyond man. Down to us has descended the masters of wisdom, as far beyond us as I am from thee. List ye now, while I give ye wisdom, use it, and free thou shalt be. Know ye that in the pyramid I builded are the keys that shall know ye the way into life. I draw ye alive from the great image I builded to the apex of the pyramid, built as a gateway. Draw ye another opposite in the same angle and direction. Dig ye and find that which I have given, which I have hidden. There shall ye find the underground entrance, the secrets hidden before ye were men. Tell ye I know of the mysteries of cycles that move in movements that are strange to the finite, for infinite are they beyond knowledge of man. Know ye that there are 9 of the cycles, aye, 9 above and 14 below, moving in harmony to the place of joining that shall exist in the future of time. Know ye that the lords of the cycles are units of consciousness sent from the others to unify this with the all. Highest are they of the consciousness of all the cycles working in harmony with the law. Know that in time all will be perfected, having none above and none below, but all one, in a perfected infinity, a harmony of all in the oneness of all. Deep beneath the earth's surface in the halls of Amenti sit the 7, the lords of the cycles, I and another, the lord from below. Yet know thee that in infinity there is neither above or below. Whatever there is and ever shall be, oneness of all, when all is complete. Oft have I stood before the lords of the all, oft at the fount of their wisdom have drunken and filled both my body and soul with their light. Spake they to me and told me of cycles and the law that gives them the means to exist. I spake to me, the Lord of the 9, saying, O Thoth, great are ye among earth children, but mysteries exist of which ye know not. Ye know that ye came from a space-time below this, and know ye shall travel to a space-time beyond. But little ye know of the mysteries within them, little ye know of the wisdom beyond. Know ye that ye as a whole in the consciousness are only a cell in the process of growth. The consciousness below thee is ever expanding in different ways from those known to thee. I, it through in space-time below thee, is ever growing in ways that are different from those that were part of the ways of thine own. For know that it grows as a result of thy growth, but not in the same way that thou didst grow. The growth that thou had and have in the present have brought into being a cause and effect. No consciousness follows the path of those before it, else all would be repetition and vain. Someone's dog. Is that a dog? Excuse me for a second. There's a dog barking somewhere. Okay, each consciousness in the cycle. Okay, that's my dog. I apologize there. In the cycle it exists in, follows its own path to the ultimate goal. Each plays its part in the plan of the cosmos. Each plays its part in the ultimate end. But it's okay. There's something outside. Each plays its part, the ultimate end. The farther the cycle, the greater its knowledge and ability to blend the law of the whole. Know ye that ye in the cycles below us are working the minor parts of the law, while we of the cycle that extends to infinity take of the striving and build greater law. Each has its own part to play in the cycles. Each has his work to complete in his way. The cycle below thee is yet not below thee, but only formed for a need that exists. For know ye that the fountain of wisdom that sends forth the cycles is eternally seeking new powers to gain. Ye know that knowledge is gained only by practice, and wisdom comes forth only from knowledge, and thus are the cycles created by law. Means are they for the gaining of knowledge, for the plane of law that is the source of the all. And if you're heavy breathing, that is my dog. The cycle below is not truly, it's not me. The cycle below is not truly below, but only different in space and in time. The consciousness there is working and testing lesser things than those ye are. And know, just as ye are working on greater, so above ye are those who are also working as ye are on yet other laws. The difference that exists between the cycles is only in ability to work with the law. We who have being in cycles beyond thee are those who first came forth from the source and have in the passage through time-space gained ability to use laws of the greater that are far beyond the conception of man. Nothing there is that is really below thee, but only a different operation of law. Look thee above or look thee below, the same shall ye find, for for all is but part of the oneness that is at the source of the law. The consciousness below thee is part thine own, as we are a part of thine. Okay. Ye as a child has had not the knowledge that came to ye when ye became a man. Compare ye the cycles to man in his journey from birth unto death, and see in the cycles below thee the child with the knowledge he has, and see ye yourself as a child grown older, advancing in knowledge as time passes on. See ye, we also the child grown to manhood, with the knowledge and wisdom that came. My dog is right here, I apologize. Within the years. So also, O souls of the cycles of consciousness, children in different stages of growth, yet all from the one source, the wisdom, and all from the wisdom returning again. Sees then he from speaking and sat in the silence that comes to the Lord's. Then again spake he unto me, saying, O souls, long have we sat in Amente, guarding the flame of life in the halls. Yet no, we are still part of our cycles with our vision, reaching unto them and beyond. I know we that of all. Nothing else matters excepting the growth we can gain with our soul. Know we the flesh in fleeting. The things men count great are nothing to us. The things we seek are not of the body, but are only the perfected state of the soul. When ye as men can learn that nothing but progress of soul can count in the end, then truly ye are free from all bondage, free to work in a harmony of law. Oops, I just jumped through this. Hang on, I do that again. Stand by. Oh, hold on. Where did I go here? I don't know if you can pick up for a second. I'm trying to find where I was.
Yeah, know, O man, ye should aim at perfection, for only thus can ye attain to the goal. Though ye should know that nothing is perfect, yet it should be thine aim and thy goal.
Okay, I'm still looking for... I got jumped on my online.
Okay. Ceased again the voice of the nine, and into the consciousness the words had sunk. Now I seek I evermore wisdom, that I may be perfect in law with thee all. Soon go I down to the halls of Amenti to live neath the cold flower of life. Ye whom I have taught shall nevermore see me, yet live I forever in the wisdom I taught. All that man is,
okay,
is because... Okay, go for it.
Go ahead. No, you're fine. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me. Live radio. So all that man is in... Excuse me. All that man is because of his wisdom. All that he shall be is the result of his cause. List ye now to my voice and become greater than common man. Lift thine eyes upward. Let light fill thy being. Be thou ever children of light. Only by effort shall ye grow upward to the plane where light is the all of the all. Be ye the master of all that surrounds thee. Never be mastered by the effects of thy life. Create then ever more perfect causes, and in time shalt thou be a son of the light. Free let thine soul soar ever upward, free from the bondage and fetters of night. Lift thine eyes to the sun in the sky's face. For thee, let it be a symbol of life. Know that thou art the greater light, perfect in thine own sphere. When thou art free, look not ever into the blackness. Lift up thine eyes to the space above. Free let thine light flame upward, and shalt thou to be a child of the light.
We did. Halfway, I was following along.
Thank goodness.
What amazes me here is, first of all, they talked about, with the nine bit, they talked about coming from out of space-time, which says to me that they are not necessarily aliens, but are they time travelers?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. Different time, different space-time configuration, perhaps. Yeah.
And the other thing that hit me really was that they're also on the same journey, but just ahead of them. But I also got the feeling that. And I don't know where it came from, but that they were giants.
Oh, interesting. Well, it's highly possible, and especially in the beginning, it sounds like he's talking about genetic engineering and DNA manipulation uh-huh. to some degree. So, yeah, that's highly possible.
But he also talks about being an Atlantean, and then he talks about the little men.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, he was sent to the land. See, this is where it can get confusing. In the very beginning passage, he talked about the dweller sending him to the land of Chem, where the people were warring. And now we just heard that he said that he came when people weren't even human yet, and yet they were warring at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Tos had to stop their warring by using his staff and freezing them so that they could explain to them that they came in peace to teach and whatever. And again, I got the feeling there that they were giants. And mm-hmm. and not from this writing, but from the statues that I've seen of ancient Egypt, these were monstrous statues, and I believe they were life-size.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that, too. Definitely.
And it would explain how they built the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And
yeah, it's really
somewhere,
fascinating. A lot of keys in here. Mm-hmm.
And somewhere he said, I believe that he buried the dweller's spaceship on the Giza Plateau.
Right. It sounds like it. Or if it's in another field of energy. Necessarily buried.
Or another dimension.
Another frequency. Yeah, another dimension based on frequency.
Or another timeline, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I like picking it apart. I mean,
I do too. No, it's great.
The material is fabulous because it is constantly saying, you know, keep seeking, keep looking for the light.
Mm-hmm.
You get the feeling that no matter who they are talking to, whether they're masters or whatever, they're also on a journey of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that they may be, compared to us, they're masters, but perhaps in another frequency or another dimension, they're just seekers like the rest of us, which is kind of a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right, as opposed
to
below. Yes. Yeah.
And yet, what if, I mean, we don't really know that he's talking to someone who's in physical body. It could easily be that he's speaking to spirits who are in the etheric body.
Mm-hmm. It's highly possible. It sounds like he's journeying in between worlds. There's no doubt about that. Some information. It's very, very fascinating, though. And it does seem like they're in close proximity. So in a sense of, you know, as they were talking about as above, so below, it's all the same in field based on frequency, based on consciousness. It almost sounds like that's what he's trying to say. So depending on what state of consciousness you're in is where you are in the field.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's even referring to above and below as much as like you said, it's frequency higher or lower frequency.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He's saying they're all the same, pretty much.
It's just a matter of perception. And if you're in physical
mm-hmm.
body, then you're not seeing the frequencies that are above and below what your frequency is. And, you know, it takes me back to that Star Trek thing where everybody slowed down and that they heard the little buzzing of the insect, and the insect was people talking at a different speed, so that
oh, yeah.
Time was different between the different frequencies, so that
mm-hmm.
there easily could be the frequency that is right next to us, but one decibel or two higher or lower. It does, and higher or lower frequency doesn't mean higher or lower intellect. It just means a different frequency of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And what if when we pass away, we just go to a different frequency?
That's what it sounds
what
like to me, anyway. It's another universe, yeah. Going into another field.
pretty
very
cool stuff.
And it's another thing, too, is that most people don't realize that this is what, in my opinion, I think that's why the path of spirit is so important, because you want to calibrate to a higher field of energy and go through another higher level of consciousness in order to progress and evolve into another evolutionary cycle off planet or wherever you go after you depart this world. That's just me. I think that's where people become earthbound, when there's too much density in their own psyche and there's too much baggage they haven't cleared out, and then they become more confined to wherever they're at in the field when they leave.
Yeah, and yet everybody's journey is calibrated on basically their last thoughts of the last, you know, what they thought of at the last lifetime, and they come this lifetime to sort of take that journey up in different form, different sex, different race, different whatever. But it's sort of like we come into, we evolve into a physical body to experience emotions and physicality. And sometimes, you know, people that do the greatest harm and are the most outrageous and do terrible things, maybe they needed to experience that to balance out a lifetime where they were almost saintly. Now I'm not saying that's exactly how it goes, but I don't necessarily think if somebody is a real creep and hard to deal with this lifetime, I don't think that necessarily means that spiritually speaking they aren't evolved. It just means that they are experiencing this kind of personality and whatever they're going through because that was an area that they needed to have more experience in. It doesn't, and the next time they could be a saint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of that could be entity attachments, too, as well, that's creating
mm-hmm.
that.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. So it's, you know, I think judgment is inappropriate on the earth plane. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a speeding ticket, you pay the ticket. But the absolute judgment, looking at somebody and judging them from...
Mm-hmm.
Earth's perspective, or the law of the land, so to speak, unfortunately impacts the spirit that is riding in that body. And maybe that spirit needed that experience for some reason in order to do something greater later on down the line. It's just,
mm-hmm.
as human beings, the more I live, the more I see, the more I know I shouldn't judge. Of course, I do, but that's because I'm human. But to judge somebody is to say I'm above you, and that's not necessarily true.
Well, I think observation is the best way to do it. You know, not really judge, but just perceive, just observe. I mean, I come from backgrounds in surveillance, and you know how that works. We observe
uh-huh.
a situation. We're not putting a spin on it. We're not putting a judgment on it. But perhaps maybe just an observation as a sacred witness, you know. But I think people have been trained to do more than that, yeah, definitely.
Well, when you look at you look at things like school children and stuff like that, and then lots of times they've been they've been schooled to judge and to think something is beneath them or below them or is not good, and even with religions,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are religious wars. And there's room for everybody. There's room for every philosophy. There's room for every belief system. It's not, it shouldn't be just one, because everybody's different. And
mm-hmm.
judgment is something that I'm having trouble with these days because, Bible thumpers are saying, you know, you golden rule, the Ten Commandments are it, and, you know, you should be judged and you should be punished, and then who punishes? And you know, it's then we take on, in punishing people, we take on a godly role, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
right.
so I have a problem with all of that. I haven't worked it all out yet, but I will let you know when I do.
Well, I try not to get wrapped into that kind of drama, because it is a program. It's how their belief systems and social engineering has gone. for many, many centuries, in my opinion. So you've got that going on. But once you get to that level of higher consciousness, people seem to stream pure energy, pure light, and be, understand the co-creation of what they are. But it takes a while for them to progress on that level. And now, you know, there's a lot of squabbling. But I think that's just the program that's running in their heads. They need to kind of deprogram, in my opinion. But how that works, I'm not sure for them.
I'm beginning to think that it's on a personal level. I do believe that we program ourselves and that it's up to us at some point to recognize that there is a program that is not appropriate. If I have a program on my computer that doesn't work, I delete it and I put a program on that will. And I think that our behavior and our philosophies is the same way. If something I believe in doesn't work, I will find something that I do believe in that will work. And I don't know what you do with the crazy people that can't recognize they're wrong. But.
Well, they go to re-education camps. No, I'm just kidding. No, I have no idea. They have to do the work. They really do. And it's not that hard. Once you start getting clarity with your own spiritual practices, and it doesn't mean you become the Dalai Lama. It just means that you start switching on to higher levels of your own divinity. Then you start seeing through everything like, well, I can't believe I did that. You know how people change over years. Decades over decades, they start, the personality changes and more of the spirit integrates in, which has more of a higher self-control and the aspects of more awareness, you know, how to deal with people, how to navigate. I think that's what happens. So in all honesty, I think a lot of people are just distracted by the lower fields of energy and they're not paying attention.
Oh, I totally agree. And you get caught in that and you get addicted to it, and breaking addictions is hard,
but that's when you
go for help. And I think that's you know, then picking the appropriate person to help you, which is tough too. So it is a dilemma, but it's something that I think as humans we all face in one way or another. I know in my lifetime I've been addicted to a number of things in my life and had to recognize that there was an addiction and it wasn't healthy and get off of whatever it was. And that's hard too, when oftentimes, you know, your living situation doesn't allow you to do that. So,
excuse me.
Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was addicted.
Thank you.
When I was much younger to neosinephrine nose spray. Yeah, and chemically
really?
Addicted to it. Oh, God, yeah.
It
tore me up horribly. And then I had a car accident, and I was addicted to Ativan and didn't realize I was addicted to it until I said I was going to stop taking it, and the doctor flipped out. It took me almost a year and a half to wean myself off of it. And then the last addiction, don't laugh, anybody, Diet Coke.
Oh, I can't say that stuff.
Well,
I'm glad you got
either.
Off of that. That's toxic. That's not good for you.
Oh yeah, no. It took a long time, even knowing it wasn't good for me to get off of it, but I did. And the thing is, I think that all of us are programmed to recognize these things and take care of them, but in our own time. And you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of building up whatever you need to build up inside of you to be able to let go of an addiction or a negative partnership or whatever. So I don't know how we get on this bent.
That's okay.
Okay. Law of cause and effect and the key of prophecy. Let's go.
It's cause and effect. Oh, that's right. Tablet 13. So we're heading on. Switching gears again. Here we go. And hopefully my dog won't bark. I think there were deer outside. Okay, so we have, list ye, O man, to the words of my wisdom. List to the voice of Sol, the Atlantean. Conquered have I the law of space, of time-space. Knowledge have I gained of the future of time. Know I that man in his movement through space-time shall ever be one with the all. Know ye, O man, that all of the future is an open book. To him who can read, all effect shall bring forth in its causes and its all effects grew from the first cause. Know ye the future is not fixed or stable, but varies as cause brings forth an effect. Look in the cause thou shalt bring into being, and surely thou shalt see that all is in effect. So, O man, excuse me, be sure the effects that ye bring forth are ever causes of more perfect effects. Know ye the future is never in fixation, but follows man's free will as it moves through the movements of time-space towards the goal where a new time begins. Man can only read the future through the cause that bring the effects. Seek ye within the causation, and surely ye shall find the effects. Yet list ye, O man, while I speak of the future, speak of the effects that follow the cause. Know ye that man, in his journey lightward, is ever seeking escape from the night that surrounds him, like the shadows that surround the stars in the sky, and like the stars in the sky space, he too shall shine from the shadows of night. Ever his destiny shall lead him onward, until he is one with the light. Aye, thou, his way lies midst the shadows, ever before him glows the great light. Dark though the way be, yet shall he conquer the shadows that flow around him like night. Far in the future I see man as light-born, free from the darkness that fetters the soul, living in light without the bounds of the darkness to cover the light that is light of their soul. Know ye, O man, before ye attain this, that many the dark shadows shall fall on your light, striving to quench with the shadows of darkness the light of the soul that strives to be free. Great is the struggle between light and darkness, as age old and yet ever new. Yet know in a time far in the future, light shall be all and darkness shall fall. List ye, O man, to my words of wisdom. Prepare, and ye shall not bind your light. Man has risen and man has fallen, as ever new waves of consciousness flow from the great abyss below us towards the sun of their soul. Ye, my children, have risen from a state that was little above the beast. Until now, of all men, ye are greatest, yet before thee were others greater than thee. Yet tell I thee, as before these others have fallen, so also shall ye come to an end. And above the land where ye dwell now, barbarians shall dwell and in turn rise to light. Forgotten shall be the ancient wisdom, yet ever shall live through, though hidden from men. I in the land thou callest Chem, races shall rise and races shall fall. Forgotten shalt thou be of the children of men, yet thou shalt have moved to a star space, beyond this leaving behind this place where thou hast dwelled. The soul of man moves ever onward, bound not by any one star, but ever moving to the great goal before him, where he is dissolved in the light of the all. Now ye shall ever go onward, move to the law of cause and effect, until in the end both become one. I, man, after ye have gone, others shall move in the places ye lived. Knowledge and wisdom shall all be forgotten, and only a memory of gods shall survive. As I to them am a god by my knowledge, so ye too shall be gods of the future, because of your knowledge far above theirs. Yet know ye that all through the ages man shall have access to law when he will. Ages to come shall see revival of wisdom to those who shall inherit thy place on this star. They shall in turn come into wisdom and learn to banish the darkness by light. Yet greatly must they strive through the ages to bring unto themselves the freedom of light. Then shall there come unto man the great warfare, and that shall make the earth tremble and shake in its course. Aye, then shall the dark brothers open the warfare between light and the night. When man shall again conquer the ocean and fly in the air on wings like the birds, when he has learned to harness the lightning, then shall the time of warfare begin. Great shall the battle betwixt the forces. Great the warfare of darkness and light. Just double checking that. Nation shall rise against nation, using the dark forces to shatter the earth. Weapons of the force shall wipe out the earth man, until half of the races of man shall be gone. Then shall come forth the sons of the morning, and give their edict, give their edict to the children of men, saying, O men, cease, from thy striving against thy brother. Only thus can ye come to the light. Cease from thy unbelief, O my brother, and follow the path, and know ye are right. Then shall men cease from their striving, brother against brother, and father against son. Then shall the ancient home of the people rise from its place beneath the dark ocean waves. Then shall the age of light be unfolded, with all men seeking the light of the goal. Then shall the brothers of light rule the people. Banished shall be the darkness of light. I, the children of men, shall progress onward and upward to the great goal. Children of light shall they become. Flame of the flame shall their souls ever be. Knowledge and wisdom shall be man's in the great age, for he shall approach the eternal flame, the source of all wisdom, the place of beginning. That is yet one with the end of all things. I, in a time that is yet unborn, all shall be one, and one shall be all. Man, a perfect flame of the this cosmos, shall move forward to a place in the stars. I shall move even from out of the space-time into another beyond the stars. Long have ye listened to me. O my children, long have ye listened to the wisdom of those. Now I depart from ye into darkness. Now go I to the halls of Amenti, there to dwell in the future, when light shall come again to man. Yet know ye, my spirit shall ever be with thee, guiding thy feet in the pathway of light. Guard ye the secrets I leave with thee, and surely my spirit will guard thee through life. Keep thine eyes over on the pathway to wisdom. Keep the light as thy goal evermore. Fetter not thy soul in bondage of darkness. Free let it wing on its flight to the stars. Now I depart thee to dwell in Amenti. Be thou my children in this life and the next. The time will come when ye too shall be deathless, living from age to age, a light among men. Guard ye the entrance to the halls of Amenti. Guard ye the secrets I have hidden among ye. Let not the wisdom be cast to barbarians. Secret shall thou keep, and keep it for those who seek light. Now I depart. I receive thou my blessing. Take thou my way and follow the light. Blend thou thy soul in the great essence, one with the great light. Let thy consciousness be. Call thou on me when thou dost need me. Use my name three times in a row. Shekhetet, Arlek, Volmatis. And I hope I said that right.
So he's saying some interesting stuff here. At least I think. He's saying that humanity has been wiped out a number of times and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're due to do it again.
That, it certainly sounds that way.
Yeah, it does. It really sounds as though he's basically saying, you know, this is not the first time humanity has gotten to this place and been destroyed and sent back to the Stone Age and has grown again. And you know, he kind of suggests that you know, that because our souls are eternal, that this is a journey we've been on before, and, you know, we've gotten to this point in time, and it's sort of like, you know, we have a choice, and we haven't made good choices in the past.
Yeah, it seems like a broken record, doesn't it? It seems like a carousel ride that just keeps going in the same direction.
It's almost like Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is where I mean by the wheel has to be broken on some level, but it just seems that way. To me, it seems kind of mundane. I don't know. My impression, I love this information, don't get me wrong, but my impression is that the wheel, the cycle of these progressions where nothing is ever accomplished and it's ebb and flow and the civilizations rise and fall, but it's always the same old program, that has to come to an end.
It does.
I think it
and,
does.
Well, I totally agree with you. But the thing is, this was all done 100 years ago. And
right.
So it does feel as though we are coming to a time where humanity has stopped growing. Now people who are into spirit are definitely out there, not afraid of being out there as once they were. People who are spiritually oriented are certainly seeking out you know, new directions and new ways to transcend, ascend, transformatively, put themselves into different states of mind and different states of awareness. But it does feel as though there is also a hopelessness about it. And you know, he says, you know, hey, it's gone on again and again and again and again. And it almost sounded like he was saying, I'm going to go off and play with another universe for a while you destroy yourself. And when you get to a place, I'll come back and talk to you again.
That's how I feel.
I'm going. I've been there, done this dozens of times, and
right.
He's talking about, you know, he's basically talking to Egypt, I think. Because that's where his portal to Amenti is, and he's talking, and you know, if we just look at it, he's talking to just Egypt. That certainly has happened, you know. It's risen and fallen and risen and fallen and risen and fallen. God knows how many times.
Mm-hmm.
But so have other cultures. I mean, and we become every day more and more aware of how many cultures have been wiped out. And yet,
mm-hmm.
He talks about him being of another star race or star group, and all of the people, either the 9 or the 7, are from another space-time continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Without being irreverent, kind of wondering who the hell are they and what are they doing screwing with humanity?
That's a good question.
I mean, if they're giving us directions on how to get to a certain place within ourselves, spiritually speaking, are they talking about humans or are they talking about themselves? And if they are not our same species, why would what worked for their species work for us? Or would it?
I think we are the same species, and that's my point, too. I think that we are the star, we are the visitor's ancestors, so... That's my own interpolation, but not from this, but just my own, you know, where I come from. But nonetheless, we are remnants of that. So it would make sense that they would try to reactivate or at least enlighten and remind them to come forward, to come up into and ascend into the new whatever space-time, wherever they're supposed to be. But I think that somehow, some way, there was some kind of a distortion in the field, and people really did fall. Or generations fell, species fell, whatever you want to call it. But it seems to me that that's been going on for a long time. And there have been those who have been literally trying to give us a lifeboat to help us out of it. And, you know, people either get it or they don't. I think some of us bring in the data when we're here. We enter onto this world as almost walk-ins, and we bring in the information. But it's very interesting, you know, and you have to ask, though, but there's always an insidious side, too, but not from this. But I find that there's always tampering with evolution. There's always genome manipulation. There's always somebody in the background trying to control. So however that formulates.
Well, if there weren't, what would the purpose of a physical existence be? If we weren't here to, you know, have things to overcome and situations to evolve beyond, I mean, that makes sense. I think according to my newest philosophy, which you know, is, you know, could change, you know, overnight, but I believe that humanity, as we are now, did not evolve from a monkey or anything. I think that humans, as we know them now, were put on this planet, or not put on. I believe that spirits, wanting a physical existence, created a physical form that was indigenous to this planet, and therefore humanity, man as we know it, came into being from that spirit perceiving a form that would exist, created the physicality that we are in now, and it is used as an avatar for that spirit.
Well, for me, I know we're not from here. So I look at it, we're star beings. However we decide to enter onto this world is how it happens. But I think I think the reason for us being here is literally to break down the false paradigm and matrix and stop the cycle of progressions of lies. I really do. I think that there's been, I don't know, I just think that things have been distorted in this field for far too long. But, you know, you're right in a sense. No, we're not related to monkeys. I have no connection to that whole theory. But I do know that mankind, in the illusion of, has created all these lies. And as you well know, too, I mean, for how many decades and centuries, it's like people don't even know what truth is anymore. So the only way to get that is either to go into trance, go into higher consciousness, access your connection to source, creation, however that is, or even go into who you are, or who you were before you showed up here. So to me,
yeah,
that's how that rolls, you know? It's
and
all
this,
interesting.
This information, it's good information. I mean, it does make you think about where did I come from, who am I, and how can I relate to this material? And in many ways, I think the fact that it makes us question or we don't agree or we agree or we debate, I think that's what the purpose of this whole thing is. I think that it's wonderful material, and I do think that whoever Toth or Toth was, he was not of this world for sure. And the channeled material that Durrell got, he was probably wondering about it too when he was writing it down.
I agree. Yeah, there's no such thing as coincidence when they're doing that.
No,
yeah,
I kind of wish he hadn't been talking in old English and stuff because...
it's really difficult to read, everybody. And if you see me stumbling here and there, it's because, well, I told you before, I go into kind of like an altered space of consciousness and I start streaming. And when I start to stream, I almost want to rewrite everything and I have to back up and, you know, kind of... and then it's like, you know, it's a little bit different, a little bit challenging. I have to really, really slow it down. It's different when you're reading it quietly. I mean, if you're not reading it out loud, it doesn't have the same effect. I don't think it does.
Oh, no, I think you have to hear it, absolutely. And if you're all by yourself, you should be reading it aloud.
Right,
because
I've never done that.
I do it because it feels like it should be poetry, and it's not. There is a rhythm to it, though, and finding that rhythm, of course, is a frequency thing, and it puts you into a state of awareness and receptivity for whatever is hidden within the words. And you know,
it
while
be
I
a
may not
13 for us to get it to where I can read it well, or at least decent.
Okay, let's hit 13.
I didn't mean to cut you. I just had to say that. Oh, my goodness.
No,
okay,
no.
Okay, so we're going to
there are 15 tablets that we're going to be looking at, so here. Hang in there
excellent.
With us, guys.
So that's right, and I hope you're enjoying this, and I encourage everybody to purchase the book, too. And what we're working on now is the keys of life and death.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so list ye, O man, hear ye the wisdom. Hear ye the word that shall fill thee with life. Hear ye the word that shall banish the darkness. Hear ye the voice that shall banish the night. Mystery and wisdom have I brought to my children. Knowledge and power descended from old. Now ye not that all shall be open when ye shall find the oneness of all. One shall ye be one with the masters of mystery, conquerors of death and masters of light. Life. I ye shall learn of the flower of Amente, the blossom of life that shines in the halls. In spirit shall ye reach that halls of Amente and bring back the wisdom that liveth in light. Know ye the gateway to power is secret. Know ye the gateway to life is through death. Aye, through death, but not as ye know death, but a death that is life and is fire and is light. Desirest thou to know the deep hidden secret? Question. Look in thy heart where the knowledge is bound. Know that in thee the secret is hidden, the source of all life and the source of all death. List ye, O man, while I tell the secret, reveal unto thee the secret of old. Deep in earth's heart lies the flower, the source of the spirit, that binds all in its form. Or know ye that the earth is living in body, as thou art alive in thine own formed form. The flower of life is as thine own place of spirit, and streams through the earth as thine flows through thy form, giving of life to the earth and its children, renewing the spirit from form unto form. This is the spirit that is form of thy body, shaping and molding into its form. Know ye, O man, that thy form is dual, balanced in polarity, while formed in its form. Know that when fast on thee death approaches, it is only because thy balance is shaken. It is only because one pole has been lost. Know that the secret of life is the mente, is the secret of restoring the balance of poles. All that exists has form and is living because of the spirit of life in its poles. See ye not that in earth's heart is the balance of all things that exist and have being on its face. The source of thy spirit is drawn from earth's heart, for in thy form thou art one with the earth. When thou hast learned to hold thine own balance, then shalt thou draw on the balance of earth. Exist then shalt thou while earth is existing, changing in form only when earth too shall change, tasting not of death but one with this planet, holding thy form till all pass away. List ye, O man, whilst I give the secret, so that ye too shall taste not of change. 1 hour each day shalt thou lie with thine head pointed to the place of the positive pole, north. 1 hour each day shalt thy head be pointed to the place of the negative pole, south. Whilst thy head is placed to the northward, hold thou thy consciousness from the chest to the head. And when thy head is placed southward, hold thou thy thought from chest to the feet. Hold thou in balance once in each seven, and thy balance will retain the whole of its strength. Aye, if thou be old, thy body will refreshen, and thy strength will become as a youth. This is the secret known to the masters, by which they hold off the fingers of death. Neglect not to follow the path I have shown, for when thou hast passed beyond years to 100 to neglect, it will mean the coming of death. Hear ye my words, and follow the pathway. Keep thou thy balance, and live on in life. Hear ye, O man, and list to my voice. List to the wisdom that gives thee of death. When at the end of thy work appointed, thou may desire to pass from this life, pass to the plane where the sons of the morning live and have been as children of light. Pass without pain and pass without sorrow into the plane where is eternal light. First lie at rest with thine head to the eastward. Fold thy hands at the source of thy life, the solar plexus. Place thou thy consciousness in the life seat. Whirl it and divide to north and to south. Send out the one out toward the northward. Send out the other out to the south. Relax thou their hold upon thy being. Forth from thy form will thy silver spark fly, upward and onward to the sun of the morning, blending with light, at one with its source. There it shall flame till desire shall be created, then shall return to a place and a form. Know ye, O men, that thus pass the greater souls, changing at will from life unto life. Thus ever passes the avatar, willing his death as he wills his own life. List ye, O man, drink of my wisdom. Learn ye the secret that is master of time. Learn ye how those ye call masters are able to remember the lives of the past. Great is the secret, yet easy to master, given to thee the mastery of time. When upon thee death fast approaches, fear not, but know ye are a master of death. Relax thy body, resist not with tension, place in thy heart the flame of thy soul, swiftly then sweep it to the seat of the triangle. Hold for a moment, then move to the goal. This thy goal is the place between thy eyebrows, the place where the memory of life must hold sway. Hold thou thy flame here in thy brain seat until the fingers of death grasp thy soul. Then as thou pass through the state of transition, surely the memories of life shall pass too. Then shall the past be as one with the present. Then shall the memory of all be retained. Free shalt thou be from all retrogression. The things of the past shall live in today. It's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's fascinating, too, that he compares the energy of man. He says man is a dual polarity, and so is the earth, so that we are so very connected to the earth that, we are one with it in many ways. And so it's sort of like... I don't think many people, make that correlation. the fact mm-hmm. that the planet is living and so are we. The planet has polar shifts and so do we. And with the shifts that the poles have created over the last, excuse me, losing my voice too, with the poles, the pole shifts that have gone on over the last, I don't know, million or so years, the consciousness of man has also shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, if we go back like 40,000 years or so, where the pole shifted, it feels like that was a time when not only was there a huge, massive climate change, but there was massive growth and intellect, you know, and technology kind of had a jump. So I'm wondering if we are more closely bound to and connected to the Earth than we realized.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all energy any way you look at it. And if it's intelligent design, which it is, yeah, there's definitely a connection and a resonance effect, if you ask me. And I think it is interesting how he's discussing the polarities. And yeah, and right now we're dealing with, well, magnetic north's gone to Siberia, or at least it's, I'm not mistaken, I think it's already there. But that whole thing, yeah, everything is changing drastically, and I think that everybody's fields, electromagnetically speaking, have altered as well. So maintaining balance is really critical, and he does put focus on that within, you know, keeping yourself balanced, and otherwise illness. And that goes into homeopathic medicine, everything else. It's all frequency-based, really.
Absolutely. And you know, I think what you said is so crucial, because perspective is so important, and you know, especially during these times, and if mm-hmm. your perspective is one of fear, that's going to create a dis-ease within you.
Yep.
And you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to get cancer or whatever, but it means that your body will not be functioning as well as if when you're positive and if when you're happy. And I mean, it's just so amazing the difference your perception makes in your wellness and your state of well-being.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. This past year, yeah, put that dampening on there. Go ahead.
No, with the past year, it's been phenomenal. And mm-hmm. There's a book called Earthing that people might be, it's a very inexpensive little book, but it talks about how Native Americans walked barefoot on the earth a lot, and mm-hmm. as a result, they had less inflammation, they had less illness, their heartbeat merged with the heartbeat of the earth, and there was a sense of wellness there. Now, because of, you know, shoes and concrete and floors and everything, we don't walk on the earth anymore. We don't connect with the heartbeat of the earth mother. And if we connected mm-hmm. with the heartbeat of the earth mother, we would find ourselves healthier. Now, you know, don't go walking out in the snow in your bare feet and stuff like that. In the wintertime, I used to, we had some big garden places where I used to live, and I used to go and ask them if I could just walk barefoot in their greenhouses to get that connection, that reacquaintance with the earth mother. And the one thing that he talks about here is the flower of life, which is a beautiful mandala. And mm-hmm. it's also a form of meditation and connecting with that kind of energy. I think that we become so isolated, and especially lately we're very isolated, we're forgetting that we have an earth connection here that's very important to us. And you know, I'm not so sure about, you know, head north, head south, head east, head west. Haven't heard that before, not about to try the east-west one, but it makes great sense to balance your body, balance your energy, balance your inner poles, And when you do that, you help the earth. The earth is going through a shift right now, so maybe now is not the best time to connect to it, but there is that energetic, that magnetism, that, you know, we're electromagnetic beings. Magnetic bracelets and stuff like that help to keep you in a better sense state of polarity, so that your health is better. And, you know, lots
so
of ways
true.
To make your health better. But
mm-hmm.
but deal with yourself energetically as well as nutritionally, as well as, you know, all of the other things. But I think people forget about the energy, and they go
yeah.
on. I mean, I have people that have drawers and drawers full of vitamins, and they're always throwing vitamins in their body, but they're not asking their body what it needs first.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, that's
so
true. I don't know if you sleep with your head to the north or not, but that's, you know, back in the old days, we used to have our heads towards magnetic north. Some people do. Some people don't feel good when they do that energetically, but I don't know where you are, if you ever have a compass in your room or that sort of thing, but yeah.
No, actually, I think I think I sleep east-west, to be honest with you.
Do you? I think I'm pretty much almost north, yeah. But everything's flipping, you're right, everything's kind of distorted, not necessarily distorted, but it is moving, so it is different. I would follow your intuition, but yeah, paying attention to your diet and everything, exercise, prana. We were just talking about this the other day, but breathing, using universal life force energy, using, you know, pranic breathing, whatever you want to do, powering up the body through that and filtering out all the debris is through the breath of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yeah, I think we're, excuse me, we're at a time where
mm-hmm.
it's important for people to start looking at all of these things and do what's appropriate for them at this particular point in time. It's all personal. It's a very personal thing for somebody to decide what's right for them and to do it and try not to be swept away with groupthink or what other people think. Do what feels right to you. You know, trust your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And go
oh, yeah.
with whatever that is.
Okay.
I mean,
don't waste
there's
time, too. That's another thing. Don't waste moments in life. They go too quick.
They do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our bodies were built for 120 years. That's,
oh, my
that's
goodness.
What the that's what, no, that's what our bodies are built for. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you take care of it, you know, you can make it all the way. People who
mm-hmm.
don't quite make it. But that's they did a study at one time. I forget who it was. And it may even be, no, it's in the Bible, too, 120 years. That's what our lifespan was reduced to when we screwed up with the Garden of Eden. So,
well, I think we're supposed to live past 1,000 years, but we'd have to be in different space-time for that and the illusion of whole different configuration.
I,
you know, they have those
I
med beds
I,
out,
I,
you know.
I think I would want to trade myself in for a different avatar if that was the case.
Me too. Definitely want an avatar off planet, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Now,
it's
does what you have, does what you have the supplementary emerald tablets?
What I have in front of me right now, yes, I have the supplementary, and so we're on, was it number 14, Atlantis?
Yeah.
Okay, I have it right
yeah,
in front of me.
Okay, let's
read
see
it?
What it has to say. Sure.
Okay, all right, so here we go. List ye, O man, to the deep hidden wisdom, lost to the world since the time of the dwellers, lost and forgotten by men of this age. Know ye this earth is but a portal, one like that, guarded by powers
Ooh.
Unknown to man. Yet the dark lords hide the entrance that leads to the heaven-born land. Know ye the way to the sphere of Arulu, is guarded by barriers open only to light-born man. Upon earth, I am the holder of the keys to the gates of the sacred land. Command I, by the powers beyond me, to leave the keys to the world of man. Before I depart, I give ye the secrets of how ye may rise from the bondage of darkness, cast off the fetters of flesh that have bound ye, rise from the darkness into the light. Know ye the soul must be cleansed of its darkness, ere ye may enter the portals of light, Thus I establish among ye the mysteries, so that the secrets may always be found. I, though man, may fall into darkness, always the light will shine as a guide, hidden in darkness, veiled in symbols, always the way to the portal will be found. Man in the future will deny the mysteries, but always the way the seeker will find. Now I command ye to maintain my secrets, given only to those ye have tested, so that the pure may not be corrupted, so that the powers of truth may prevail. List ye now to the unveiling of mystery, list to the symbols of mystery I give. Make of it a religion, for only thus will its essence remain. Regions there are two between, this life and the great one, traveled by the souls who departed from this earth. Dwat, the home of the powers of illusion. Sekhet, Hespet, the house of the gods. Osiris, the symbol of the guard of the portal. Osiris, the symbol of the guard of the portal, who turns back the souls of unworthy men. Beyond lies the sphere of the heaven-born powers, Arulu, the land where the great ones have passed. There, when my work among men has been finished, will I join. Seven are the mansions of the house of divine. Yeah, there was just a bumper there. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So seven are the mansions of the house of the mighty. Three guards the portal of each house from the darkness. 15 the ways that lead to Dwat. 12 are the houses of the lords of illusion, facing four ways, each of them different. 42 are the great powers, judging the dead who seek for the portal. 4 are the sons of Horus. 2 are the guards east and west of Isis, the mother who pleads for her children, queen of the moon, reflecting the sun. Ba is the essence, living forever. Ka is the shadow that man knows as life. Ba cometh not until Ka is incarnate. These are mysteries to preserve through the ages. Keys are they of life and of death. Hear ye now the mystery of mysteries. Learn of the circle, beginningless and endless, the form of he who is one and in all. Listen and hear it. Go forth and apply it. Thus will ye travel the way that I go. Mystery and mystery, yet clear to the light-born, the secret of all I now will reveal. I will declare a secret to the initiated, but let the door be wholly shut against the profane. Three is the mystery. Come from the Great One. Hear, and light on thee will dawn. In the primeval dwell three unities. Other than these, none can exist. These are the equilibrium, source of creation, one God, one truth, one point of freedom. Three come forth from the three of the balance, of all life, all good, all power. Three are the qualities of God in his light, home, infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite love. Three are the powers given to the masters to transmute evil, assist good, use discrimination. Three are the things inevitable for God to perform, manifest power, wisdom, and love. Three are the powers creating all things, divine love, possessed of perfect knowledge, divine wisdom, knowing all possible means, divine power, possessed by the joint will of divine love and wisdom. Three are the circles, states of existence, the circle of light where dwells nothing but God, and only God can traverse it, the circle of chaos where all things by nature arise from death, the circle of awareness where all things spring from life. All things animate are of three states of existence, chaos or death, liberty and humanity, and felicity of heaven. Three necessities control all things, beginning in the great deep, the circle of chaos, plenitude in heaven. Three are the paths of the soul, man, liberty, light. Three are the hindrances, lack of endeavor to obtain knowledge, non-attachment to God, attachment to evil. In man, the three are manifest. Three are the kings of power within. Three are the chambers of the mysteries, found yet not found in the body of man. Hear ye now of he who is liberated, freed from the bondage of life into light, knowing the source of all worlds shall be open. I, even the gates of Arulu, shall not be barred. Yet heed, O man, who wouldest enter heaven, if ye be not worthy. Better it be to fall into the fire. Know ye the celestials pass through the pure flame at every revolution of the heavens. They bathe in the fountains of light. List ye, O man, to this mystery. Long in the past, before ye were man-born, I dwelled in ancient Atlantis. There in the temple I drank of the wisdom, poured as a fountain of light from the dweller. Give the key to ascend to the great presence of light in the great world. stood I before him, the Holy One, enthroned in the flower of fire. Veiled was he by the lightnings of darkness, else my soul by the glory have been shattered. Forth from the feet of his throne, like the diamond, rolled forth four rivers of flame from his footstool, rolled through the channels of clouds to the man-world, filled with the hall of spirits of heaven. Wonder of wonders was the starry place. Above the sky, like a rainbow of fire and sunlight, were formed the spirits. Sang they the glories of the Holy One. Then from the midst of the fire came a voice, "Behold the glory of the first cause. I beheld that light high above all darkness. I reflected in my own being. I attained, as it were, to the gods of all gods, to the God of all gods, the Spirit Son, the Sovereign of the Sun's spheres. There is one, even the first, who hath no beginning, who hath no end, who hath made all things, who govern all, who is good, who is just, who illuminates, who sustains." Then from the throne there poured a great radiance, surrounding and lifting my soul by its power. Swiftly I moved through the spaces of heaven. Shown was I the mystery of mysteries, shown the secret heart of the cosmos. Carried was I to the land of Arulu, stood before the lords in their houses. Opened they the doorway so I might glimpse the primeval chaos. Shuddered my soul to the vision of horror, shrank back my soul from the ocean of darkness. Then saw I the need for the barriers, saw the need for the lords of Arulu. Only they, with infinite balance, could stand in the way of the imploring chaos. Only they could guard God's creation. Then did I pass around the circle of eight, saw all the souls who had conquered the darkness, saw the splendor of light where they dwelled. Longed I to take my place in their circle, but longed I also for the way I had chosen. When I stood in the halls of Amenti and made my choice to the work I would do, passed I from the halls of Arulu down to the earth space where my body lay, arose from the earth where I rested, stood I before the dweller, gave my pledge to renounce my great right until my work on earth was completed, until the age of darkness to be passed. List ye, O man, the words I shall give ye. In them shall ye find the essence of life. Before I return to the halls of Amenti, taught shall ye be the secrets of secrets, how ye too may arise to the light. Preserve them and guard them, hide them in symbols, so the profane will laugh and renounce. In every land form ye the mysteries, make the way hard for the seeker to tread. Thus will the weak and the wavering be rejected. Thus will the secrets be hidden and guarded, held till the time when the wheel shall be turned, through the dark ages waiting and watching. My spirit shall remain in the deep hidden land when one has passed all the trials of the outer. Summon ye me to by the key of that ye hold. Then will I, the initiator, answer, come from the halls of the gods and Amenti. Then will I receive the initiate, give him the words of power. Hark ye, remember these words of warning. Bring not me, one lacking in wisdom, impure in heart, or weak in his purpose, else I will withdraw from ye your power to summon me from the place of my sleeping. Now go ye forth and summon thy brothers, so that I may impart the wisdom to light thy path when my presence is gone. Come to the chamber beneath my temple. Eat not food until 3 days are past. There will I give thee the essence of wisdom, so that with power ye may shine amongst men, there will I give unto thee the secrets, so that ye too may rise to the heavens, God, men, in truth, as in essence ye be. Depart now and leave me, while I summon those ye know of but as yet know not.
So he was ascended of some sort and chose to come down and become Toth. Is that what you got?
It certainly sounds that way. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like a being. I've never read this part.
Mm-mm. I like the idea of the portal, too.
Yeah, that makes great sense.
I mean, think about the terminology. This is like over 100 years old.
Yeah. Nothing like, you know, getting into something you haven't read before. but it seems that he stepped down from a level that was much higher to take the form of Thoth and begin his journey as Thoth. Now here's where a question arises. So he's telling you in this that he was ascendant of some sort in some place in some way, and he chose to step back from his ascension to again take a human-ish life form and make the journey all over again without the awareness that he already had been above everything that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It's interesting.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, it almost sounds like an Avatar aspect. So if you're talking about him sending an aspect of himself back, it could be that he's already ascended, but he has an aspect like an avatar like we use in this world, like a walk-in aspect that entered back, perhaps. I don't know. It's just theoretical. But
I've heard this story before, and I can't tell you where it was. Unfortunately, I read too much. But I heard that... But it was not applied to Thoth. It was applied to Jesus, that his spirit had gone forward. You know, his spirit was one that had passed through all of the incarnations needful in human existence, and had moved on to other planes where it had achieved everything there, and then to other planes and other planes and other planes. And at some point in time, his spirit was asked if it would take human form again and spread a message of love. And the only problem was the sacrifice that he made was not so much coming, you know, because he was very aware of the process of evolution and that his spirit would, you know, move forward again in time. But he gave up where he was, highly ascended someplace, God knows where, and his spirit came back down to earth to take human form and begin the journey all over again. So he sacrificed possibly millions and millions of lifetimes in order to help the planet to become the spirit that became Jesus.
Is that part of a Bible or no?
No, it's not part of the Bible, but I don't remember where I read it, but it was in a book that I was very impressed with, that it made great sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the message that he was to give to humanity, and his consciousness, his awareness of the fact that he came from beyond the stars, beyond whatever, that he had sacrificed billions of years of evolution to come down to the earth plane to help humanity find its direction. And
that's interesting.
And then, of course, as the spirit that was Jesus, he started this journey all over again because he couldn't go back to where he was. He had to work his way back. He had to work his way back there the same way he got there the first time. So the sacrifice was far greater than one would think originally.
Right. When I think of Jesus, I always look at the mystery school teachings and of course, the comparison with even the Isis and Osiris and
uh-huh.
that. To me, it's the same thing. It's a metaphor. In other words, the Jesus, what happened with the Christ and the whole sequence of Christ is really a metaphor for what happened in the Egyptian mystery schools. But that's just me. But I still see it anyway. Look at it, star seed or star beings entering onto a world and to better it, perhaps, or various reasons. But, yeah, it's all really interesting. on so many levels. But what I find interesting is that he lists a lot of keys and information that are very interdimensional and multidimensional. You listen to what he has to say. And like I said, the portal, the spheres, things he's talking about, that's my language of the day. I mean, I'm sure it's yours too, but that I can relate to. And this is somebody who wrote over 100 years ago, you know. So he's talking about terminology that is, in my opinion, very tech, off-planet, kind of techie. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what gives it greater validity for me. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
while I may not agree with everything in it, I do agree with Dr. Durrell's, with what he gives us. I do find great credibility in a great deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's working, he's channeling through his frame of reference. And I think that this is, you know, the Brotherhood of White Light is, he was one of the founders of it, I believe. And
mm-hmm.
their material is very, gosh, what's the best word to use? It's not woo-woo stuff. It has meat to it. It has a great
mm-hmm.
depth to it. And I think that it gives you a greater perspective of the journey that we're all on, and certainly the avatars we ride in, and what we're seeking, and everybody is seeking, and it's sort of like many people are seekers, but they don't know what they're looking for.
Right.
And I think mostly people are looking for their purpose in life, and it doesn't mean, you know, job, and it doesn't mean career. It means what am I here for? Why did I incarnate here? What is my reason for being here? And
yeah, it's like being in a dream, isn't it? George
Orwell,
it's like being in someone else's dream. That's not a good place to be. You're living someone else's dream, but you need to live your own, you know. That's my 2 cents on that.
But how do you find your purpose? I mean, there's a great deal to be said for the fact that we create our reality by our perception of it, that the energy flows where the intent goes, you know, where the attention is being given, that's where the energy goes. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's so much wisdom out there. And it all doesn't apply to everyone. That's the problem. You know, there's some very good, valid wisdoms out there, but they don't apply to everybody. And so
mm-hmm.
you have to find where you're comfortable, what resonates with you. A lot of this material resonates with me, but some of it doesn't. And
mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. It's okay. You know, we all create our own inner truth. And
it's also multidimensional, too. I mean, it's multi-layered, so that's also a part of it. There's data codes in there that I'm sure are in between the spaces of what he's saying. In other words, when I start streaming, when I'm talking or reading it, I can tell that if I were to study this, like, quietly for, like, a few hours, I'd probably come up with all kinds of data. I'm sure you would, too. Because there's stuff in there. It's loaded. Loaded with information, yeah.
Well, that's the cool part about channeled material.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to really go crazy with channeled material, I'll tell you where to go. First of all, this is a wonderful book, and I highly recommend this book. But if you're into channeled material, the best collection of channeled material I've ever seen is the Urantia book.
Oh, yeah. And do you believe I haven't read that book?
Yes, I can believe it. I got lost in the foreword too many times. It's heavy-duty channeled material, and it's wonderful material. But
mm-hmm.
it will definitely it'll put you in your place, spiritually speaking, for sure.
I remember it was really popular. A lot of people liked that book.
Oh, there's a huge organization with it. They've got a great website,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe you can actually read it online, which will save you because it's a big sucker of a book, and I think the one I had was almost on onion skin, so it was hard to read. But what Solaris and I are going to be doing is, now that we have tackled the Emerald Tablets, we're going to be looking at different spiritual philosophies and material, and at some point we're going to go into Manly P. Hall's book and pull out some of those chapters that are wonderful, because his book is a great book too. So, so stay tuned.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And also, you know, did we go through the supplementary tablet 15?
I don't know. Did we? I think there is
one left.
Is there? Oh, well, let's
read that.
Is that
what I just read, The Secret of Secrets?
I think
so. Did I read that? Okay, never mind.
I think so.
All right. We're back. I didn't think so, though. All right, as long as you say so.
No, let's read it. No,
I don't think we did.
No, well, let's read it. We got time.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. Secret of Secrets, and if it's a repeat, I'll stop immediately, but I swear I don't think I said this. So, now ye assemble, my children, waiting to hear the secret of secrets, which shall give ye power to unfold the God-man, give ye the way to eternal life. Plainly shall I speak of the unveiled mysteries. No dark saying shall I give unto thee. Open thine ears, and now, my children, hear and obey the words that I give. First I shall speak of the fetters of darkness, which bind ye in chains to the sphere of the earth. Darkness and light are both of one nature, different only in seeming. For each arose from the source of all. Darkness is disorder, light is order. Darkness transmuted is light of the light. This, my children, your purpose is being, in being, transmutation of darkness to light. Hear ye now of the mystery of nature, the relations of life to the earth where it dwells. Know ye are threefold in nature, physical, astral, and mental in one. Three are the qualities of each of the natures, nine in all, as above, so below. In the physical are these channels, the blood which moves in vertical motion, reacting on the heart to continue its beating, magnetism which moves through the nerve paths, carrier of energies to all cells and tissues, akasa which flows through channels, subtle yet physical, completing the channels. Each of the three attuned with each other, each affecting the life of the body, form they the skeletal framework through which the subtle ether flows. In their mastery lies the secret of life in the body, relinquished only by the will of the adept, when his purpose in life in living is done. Three are the natures of the astral. Mediator is between above and below, not of the physical, not of the spiritual, but able to move above and below. Three are the natures of mind, carrier of the will of the Great One, arbitrator of cause and effect in thy life. Thus is formed the threefold being, directed from above by the power of four. Above and beyond man's threefold nature lies the realm of the spiritual self. Four is it in qualities, shining in each of the planes of existence, but 13 in one, a mystical number, based on the qualities of man, are the brothers. Each shall direct the unfoldment of being. Each shall channel the one of the Great One. On earth, man is in bondage, bound by space and time to the earth plane. Encircling each planet, a wave of vibration binds him to his plane of unfoldment. Yet within man is the key to releasement. Within man may freedom be found. When ye have released the self from the body, rise to the outermost bounds of your earth plane. Speak ye the word, Dori Lila. Then for a time your light will be lifted. Free may ye pass the barriers of space. For a time of half of the sun, 6 hours, free may ye pass the barriers of earth plane. See and know those who are beyond thee. Yea, to the highest world may ye pass. See your own possible heights of unfoldment. Know all earthly futures of soul. Bound are ye in your body, but by the power ye may be free. This is the secret whereby bondage shall be replaced by freedom for thee. Calm let thy mind be, at rest be thy body. Conscious only of freedom from flesh, center thy being on the goal of thy longing. Think over and over that thou wouldest be free. Think of the word, La'um El-Ailil Ganuver, and over in my mind let it sound. Drift with the sound to the place of thy longing. Drift free from the bondage of flesh by thy will. Hear ye while I give the greatest of secrets, how ye may enter the halls of Amenti. Enter the place of the immortals as I did. Stand before the lords in their places. Lie ye down in the rest of thy body, calm thy mind so that no thought disturbs thee. Pure must ye be in mind and in purpose, else only failure will come unto thee. Vision and mente, as I have told in my tablets, long with fullness of hearts to be there, stand before the Lord's in thy mind's eye. Pronounce the words of power I give mentally. Mechut el Shab, el Hal, Serbin, el Sabrut, Zin, Ephraim, or El. Relax thy mind and thy body, and be sure your soul be called. Now give I the key to Shambhala, the place where my brothers live in the darkness, darkness but filled with light of the sun, darkness of earth but light of the spirit, guides for ye when my day is done. Leave thou thy body as I have taught thee, pass to the barriers of the deep, hidden place, stand before the gates and their guardians, command thy entrance by these words. I am the light, in thee is no darkness. Free am I of the bondage of night. Open thou the way of the 12 and the 1, so I may pass to the realm of wisdom. When they refuse thee, as surely they will, command them to open by these words of power. I am the light, for me there are no barriers. Open, I command, by the secret of secrets. Open, I command. Okay. Adom el Ahim, Sabert Zur Adom. Then if thy words have been truth of the highest, open for thee, the barriers will fall. Now I leave thee, my children, down yet up, to the hall shall I go. Win ye the way to me, my children, truly my brothers, shall ye become. Thus finish I my writings, keys let them be, to those who come after, but only to those who seek my wisdom, for only for these am I the key, am the way. Very pretty.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, and, you know, it's written somewhere that the more you read this, the more it activates, the more it does connect you to this wisdom. And I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. Yeah,
I think about us reading this
how many years ago, you know? I mean, my goodness.
Oh geez. I mean, decades ago. Mm-hmm. I read this for the first time, and it talked to me. It, you know, there was something there. There's a lesson here. There's a message here. And, you know, and I picked it up and read it a number of times. It's a very small book, you know, for those of you that are thinking of buying it. It's only, I don't know, 75, 77, 79 pages long. So it's not
mm-hmm.
even 100 pages.
Perfect.
And it will make you think, and I think that's one of the most important things about it. It makes you think, it makes you wonder, it stretches you in your own philosophy, and does make you wonder where a mentee is, and you know, is it beneath the Great Pyramid? Are we talking interdimensional? Are we talking time travel? Are we talking all sorts of things? I mean, considering mm-hmm. how old it is, it speaks of things that 100 years ago were not common accepted knowledge of any sort. I mean, in the very beginning where he talks about the spaceship that the dweller called forth to take his people and go to Chem, he was talking a spaceship 100 years ago.
Right. Yeah, very advanced. This is definitely, yeah, it's like right now. He's written this for almost now.
Yeah.
It's very, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I hope listeners did. Yeah, I think it's fabulous. I really do. And it feels, energetically, I think this would be really nice. And even a ceremony, if people are doing ritual or ceremony. I know people who have gone to the pyramids and have worked this kind of work, the Halls of Amenti there as well. And they get all kinds of energetic downloads and you know, they travel in consciousness. So I would encourage people, if they're really seeking answers, to dive into it.
Well, not only that, but when we did the distant viewing, we went beneath
mm-hmm.
the Great Pyramid and found tunnels there and stuff, so that there is something there. It may not physically be there, but if you're going in spirit, if you're doing something like the astral traveling and journeying there, you can find things that that, you know, the archaeologists haven't found, but that are definitely there on another level of consciousness. So it's a magical place for sure.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree with you. I'd like to go again. Well, I haven't been in this lifetime. You've been there, right?
Never.
You haven't? Oh, I could have sworn you have gone. We should go. My goodness, that should be on the bucket list.
I'm
not kidding.
Very I'm claustrophobic. I have been there in spirit. I have been there in spirit for sure. I have definitely been in the chambers. I can describe them to you. I've been there in spirit. Physically speaking, you know, I would be the one screaming in the tunnel saying, get me out of here. It's going to fall. I mean,
oh wow!
I am really claustrophobic. Getting to the King's Chamber is you have to almost crawl, and I couldn't do that. So the only way I can actually get there is by doing distant viewing. The one place I would love to go though is the Bosnian Pyramid. You can walk up right there.
Oh yeah, that's supposed to be very healing too. Yeah.
Yes, it's full of negative ions. So yeah, it's really a fabulous place to go. So tell everybody where your shows are and where to go for them, because you have two different shows.
Well, thank you. Right, and I do want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I hope they appreciated this. I enjoyed it, and I always enjoy you, Barbara. So thank you. And yeah, I'm over at Hyperspace. What's that?
No, I said thank you.
Okay. No, I'm over at Hyperspace at the KCOR Digital Radio Network on Friday nights at 12 midnight Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. And I'm also on Raven Star's Witching Hour on Saturday nights, 12 midnight Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific on Revolution Radio. So I have shows over there too.
And you have great interviews. You have fabulous people that come on your show.
Oh, thank you. And you've been one of them. You've been a guest on my show. Been fabulous. Yeah, I just had I have some wonderful people that come on here and there. So yeah, it's been really fun. Well, you know how that works.
I think doing podcasts is probably one of the coolest ways of learning ever. And it's been especially I think great during the current times where people are kind of all stuck in one place to be able to take them to other realms. At least over the computer for sure.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So. They can get a PhD in just listening to interviews at some point. I mean, they get a beyond regular linear education, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we're down to minutes and seconds here. So, you want to sign us off?
I will. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Have a wonderful weekend and take care. And until next time.